And welcome to Outbeat Now on KRCB FM Santa Rosa. I am Jeff Basham, and I am in studio tonight with my co-host, Greg Maraglia. Good evening, Greg.
Jeff, how are you tonight?
I am doing great. So we're in studio tonight and have a packed hour for you. I am going to be speaking with Charles Metz, the organizer of the Sonoma County Pride Interfaith Service. I'll be talking about Sonoma County Pride, which is coming up in 2 weeks, and also all the events surrounding that weekend. And, Ray, what do you have coming up on Outbeat Youth?
Well, we're going to sort of stick with the Mother's Day theme this month. We're going to be talking with Marsha Izumi about her journey with her transgender son, Aiden. She is an amazing woman and such a role model for other parents. So you'll want to definitely stay tuned for that later in the show.
And all that is coming up on Outbeat Now, right here on KRCB. Outbeat Radio is a program for and about LGBT people in Sonoma County. And coming up next is our news segment with Greg Maraglia. Take it away, Greg.
Good evening. This is Greg Maraglia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, May 22, 2011. Today is Harvey Milk Day in California, and how appropriate it is to celebrate the idea of hope he always talked about by congratulating four members of the sports world who all came out this week. Phoenix Suns CEO Rick Welts, former Villanueva baseball player Will Sheridan, bowler Scott Norton, and ESPN reporter Jared Max all came out publicly as being gay. And hopefully these four role models will pave the way for other professional athletes who happen to be gay but are still hiding in the closet. And I think Harvey would have seen great hope after hearing that the San Francisco Giants will be the first professional sports team to produce an It Gets Better video supporting LGBT youth.
2 days after I was elected, I got a phone call, and the voice was quite young. It was from Altoona, Pennsylvania, and the person said, "Thanks. And you've got to elect gay people so that that young child and the thousands upon thousands like that child know that there's hope for a better world. There's hope for a better tomorrow. Without hope, not only gays, but those blacks and the Asians and the disabled and the seniors, the usses, without hope, the S's give up. I know that you cannot live on hope alone, but without it, life is not worth living. And you got to give them hope. Thank you very much."
And here locally, Walk with Pride is a photography project that documents 1 year's worth of gay pride marches around the globe and helps to bring a spotlight on the gay rights movement. It's slated to be shown in 15 different countries. Each year, Pride festivals are held around the globe with the purpose of empowering those in the LGBT community to be proud of their sexual orientation and gender identity, and to increase their visibility within the wider community. Annual Pride marches have become a powerful part of Pride festivals, and they serve as a positive and entertaining way to unite a diverse group of people while bringing out family, friends, and heterosexual supporters in a show of solidarity. Don Spradling, who's producing the exhibition, said, "I want to bring the show here because I think we get way too complacent here in our fairly liberal enclave and forget that being out and gay in most of the world puts people at risk." The images that make up the Walk with Pride photo collection were taken by photographer Charles Meacham during the 2009 and 2010 Pride season and showcase 15 different global prides. Charles Meacham is an American photographer currently based in New York City. And over the last 10 years, Meacham's projects have won recognition from some of the photography industry's top judges. He's received over 20 international photography awards, including those from National Geographic Traveler, Smithsonian, and PDN magazines. Some of Meacham's images from his collection have received honorable mention status in the 2010 IPA Awards, a professional-level global competition with over 20,000 entries. The images reveal the diversity of Pride, as well as the extent homophobia can manifest itself within societies. The photography project is currently partnering with the International Day Against Homophobia Committee to organize exhibitions of this collection in over 20 cities around the world in awareness of the International Day Against Homophobia, which was May 17th. You can see this exhibition at the Guayaki Herb Mate Bar, located at 6782 Sebastopol Avenue in Sebastopol. The hours of the exhibition are Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m., and the show runs through June 9th. For more information about Walk with Pride, go to their website at www.walkwithpridenow.com. Now here's your calendar of coming events for the week. On Tuesday, May 24th, from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m., the Santa Rosa Senior Group will meet at the Glacier Center in Santa Rosa. And also on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m., the Transgender North Bay Group meets at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Thursday night, Positive Images Youth Group meets for their weekly support group meeting at Santa Rosa High School. And also on Thursday, the Men's Peer-to-Peer HIV Support Group meets at Face-to-Face at 873 2nd Street. That's at 6:30 p.m. If you have an event you'd like to share with our listeners, you can tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat News. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Outbeat Now on KRCB-FM Santa Rosa.
And welcome back. This is Jeff Basham, and this is Outbeat Now on Outbeat Radio here on KRCB. And I'd like to welcome Charles Metz to the show. Welcome, Charles.
Hi. It's great to be here.
Great to have you.
Thanks.
So Charles is the organizer for the Sonoma County Pride Interfaith Service. And so before we get into that, Charles, though, I'm going to give a little rundown of events that are happening Pride Week, starting with Sonoma County Pride. It's in 2 weeks, everyone, you know. Write that down on your calendars. The weekend starts on June 3rd, on Friday night, with the Russian River Sisters Closet Ball. And the Closet Ball takes place at the Rio Nido Roadhouse. It starts at dusk, so river time, you know, that's about 8:15, 8:30, you know, something like that. And if you haven't been to a Closet Ball before, the contestants show up in their said gender, and they are interviewed. They have 1 hour. They go backstage and they change into a drag queen or a drag king, and then they come back on stage and they're interviewed again after doing a performance lip sync, and they're judged by the audience, and the winner walks away with a bunch of prizes. Actually, this year I think the winner also gets to specify a charity, and the proceeds from the event, the sisters will donate to that charity. Every contestant, I believe, donates in a percentage, or pits a charity, and a percentage goes to that charity. So that is all on Friday, June 3rd, at the Rio Nido Roadhouse in Rio Nido, just outside of Guerneville. The next night, June 4th, Saturday, is the Pride Comedy Night. That is run by We Mean It Productions, and the website for that is www.wemeanit.net. It is at the Wells Fargo Center for the Arts, and the show starts at 8 p.m. And you can get more information on that by going to the Wells Fargo website and calling the Wells Fargo box office for tickets. On June 5th is the Sonoma County Pride Parade and Festival. The Pride Parade starts at 11 a.m. and is on Main Street. So you want to get into town nice and early so that you can reserve your spot along the sidewalk, get your car parked, and not be in a hurry to get to the parade route. So, you know, plan on arriving around 9:30 or so and to, you know, getting a coffee at one of the many restaurants there and having a nice morning, and then the Pride Parade will start at 11. Then the festival begins at noon. Festival runs from noon until 6 p.m., and that is at the same location as it was last year. The Guerneville Lodge is on River Road, just before the main downtown section of Guerneville. So that's the rundown of the first weekend of Pride events, and that begins what we're calling Pride Week. The next week, there's different events happening that are still being gathered and put up on the Sonoma County Pride website. So if you missed any of the details of anything that I've just talked about, you want to go to www.sonomacountypride.org. Again, that's www.sonomacountypride.org. And Greg?
Now, rumor has it that the Outbeat team is going to have a float this year in the parade.
Yeah, I've heard something about a radio tower with a bunch of grapes on it.
I'm not going to say anything more, but it definitely won't be something you will want to miss. So make sure that you come out for the parade. And then we'll also have a booth at the festival. We'd love for you to come by and meet us and say hi.
Absolutely, and put some faces to these many voices that you hear every Sunday night at 8 p.m. here on KRCB. So the next weekend after all this Pride celebration has happened and the whole week of events is June 12th, is Sunday that weekend, and that is the Pride Interfaith Service. And I believe, Charles, that's what you're here to talk about.
Exactly. And this will be the 5th Sonoma County Pride Interfaith Service.
Wonderful.
And the theme is just as important as the service, particularly this year, because the theme is I Was Born This Way.
Guess where we, yeah. I wonder where you got that
from. Where did
from?
We get that? Well, you know, I think it was in January. My partner was listening, was on the computer, and he was listening to Lady Gaga, and he says, Charles, you got to listen to this song. She just came out with a new song. So I did. It's called Born This Way. And I thought, and at the same time, I was thinking, what is the theme going to be for this year?
Mm-hmm.
And the line that came to me that she sang, I'm beautiful in my way because God makes no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. And I thought, what a great theme for interfaith service.
Absolutely.
So that's how it started. And this is the 5th one.
Wow, that's great. That's great. So where is it? What time is it?
It's going to be at Congregation Shamwai Torah this year, and it's at 7 p.m. on June 12th, and they're at 2600 Bennett Valley Road in Santa Rosa.
Okay, and of course that information is also available on the Sonoma County Pride website.
If they go there and they look under Interfaith, click there, they'll see not only about the service, but also all the participating congregations that will be there. And we have 15 this year so far, and it's growing.
That's great. Can you just real quickly read down the list of congregations, not necessarily the clergy, but just the congregations so
sure.
that people are
sure, sure,
have
sure.
some kind of a sense?
Sure. Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Santa Rosa, United Methodist Church, Forestville United Methodist Church, Center for Spiritual Living, Knox Presbyterian Church, Congregation Shamwai Torah, Faith Lutheran Church, Windsor Presbyterian Church, Congregation Near Shalom, Thanksgiving Lutheran Church, Metropolitan Community Church of the Redwood Empire, First Congregational United Church of Christ, Petaluma United Church of Christ, Community for Center for Spiritual Living in Petaluma, Christ Church United Methodist. Now, I know that's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
But that's good news.
That is. That's really good news.
Exactly.
So how do the different congregations participate in the interfaith service? Do they each come on stage, or is it just are you on stage, or how what's the talk and how does it work?
Well, I do want to say this year, since the theme is I Was Born This Way, mm-hmm. Lady Gaga has to show up.
Oh.
Now it won't be her, but I hear there will be a little lip syncing. So this is a little bit different how we're starting off. But I think the community will really like it. But it will quickly go down to – we want to take the flavor of the church, that we're, the congregation that we're at that time. And since
sure.
this is a Jewish, mm-hmm. we definitely want that flavor really quickly. So that's how it's going to start off. And every single clergy person participates. That's one of the things that I think is so important. There will be 3 people who will be speaking,
mm-hmm.
No more than 5 minutes each.
Okay.
But then other clergy persons will do prayer. There'll be other things that are going to be happening. So,
and
everything will take place within an hour.
And this is a family friendly type of service, right?
Yeah.
I know in the past that there's been a children's message as part of the talk. Is that uh-huh. is that still happening?
Everyone is welcome, and there's also going to be music as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know there was a big huge interfaith choir a couple years ago. Is that
there was? We are
you?
Doing the interfaith choir this year.
Wonderful.
And this year. The choir director at Congregation Shamwai Torah will be leading the interfaith choir, so we're really happy about that.
Wonderful. So right here in the studio, we actually have with us 2 of the clergy members that will be participating. So, Charles, would you like to introduce first Rabbi Gittleman?
I guess, yeah, I would have to. Well, here's Rabbi Gittleman. Come out on stage and talk
Charles.
To the audience. Hi.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, welcome.
It's great to be here. It's exciting to think about the interfaith service. This is the fifth year, and Shermer Tour has participated in all five, and they've all been different. And I have to say, Charles is the guy. It's really all about Charles. It's his energy. He really makes it happen, and we're really excited to host. We feel like it's an honor to host, and it's totally part of our mission to be welcoming and affirming to all kind of Jews, all kind of people. And so it fits right in our mission, and we're excited to be actually the host for the first time this year. And it's interesting to think about the Jewish flavor. I have to think about that, but hopefully it's a flavor that tastes good to everybody.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. And here also with us is Reverend Chris Bell from the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Santa Rosa. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. Okay. Very happy to be here. Thank you.
Welcome. Welcome. So do you want to talk a little bit, Chris, about your role in the interfaith and maybe what it means to you to be involved?
Sure. I think I've participated every year that I've been here. Or at least.
And you hosted last year.
And we hosted just last year. So it's important to me. I would never not do it. And encourage members of the congregation to come as well. We usually have some folk in the choir. It's a meaningful experience for me. It's good to be gathered with the other clergy that are also very supportive and welcoming of GLBT people, and just to show that the doors to communities of faith are open to people.
Wonderful. For George, go ahead.
You know, the question, what does it mean to do it, is an interesting one. And I think it's summed up by, for me, the first time I did it, I was one of the speakers, and the message was simply, you're okay. We're all okay. You're okay. You're welcome. And after the service, people lined up to just cry on my shoulder.
Oh.
Jews who didn't feel okay and didn't feel welcome. And that's when I really got it. You know, I kind of took it for granted. Oh, of course, Sonoma County, liberal Judaism, you're all welcome. But I really didn't get how much pain there was until that evening. And it really changed, I think, my whole... It increased, let me say it deepened my commitment. I always had one,
mm-hmm.
But it really deepened it because I had a, you know, I for a moment walked in someone else's shoes.
Yeah, I can even just feel that here in the studio. I can feel that energy. It's a moving experience for sure. Real quick, Chris, has there been any kind of a change like that in for you having participated in the interfaith service?
You know, it's interesting you said kind of take it for granted, because Unitarian Universalism has been ordaining gay people for over 30 years, and the minister of the first church I was really involved with, one of the two, was an out lesbian woman, and I realized, like, mm-hmm. that I've kind of taken a certain amount of the openness for granted, which doesn't mean every UU congregation is as welcoming as it might be, but one important benefit of attending the services, you realize that's not an easy road for some people, you know, fellow clergy sometimes, whoever it is.
Definitely.
You know, you when a major tradition changes its position, it's still, you know, huge headlines.
Certainly. Charles?
Yeah. No, I would definitely agree with that. I think when I started this service, I was thinking maybe there were three or five places of faith where in Sonoma County where GLBT people could go to and be open and be who they are and be mm-hmm. welcomed.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised at the first service that we had 15 congregations.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that in 2008 when we started, I knew Metropolitan Community Church, you know, yes. obviously started by Troy Perry, a gay man, was welcoming, and Church of Religious Science, Universalist Unitarian Church, and the Uniform for Union of Reformed Judaism. I know those were all places of faith that ordained people. But in 2009, the Episcopal Church and the Evangelical Lutheran Church said that gays and lesbians could be ordained. And then just 2 weeks ago, the Presbyterian Church of the of USA said gays and lesbians could also be ordained as well. So in just the span of 3.5 years, we have seen the faith community really open up to the GLBT bisexual transgendered community. And I think that's great.
It is. It's really wonderful. Discovering faith in my life personally was something that came relatively recently, you know, just about 3 years ago, and certainly has changed my life. And you know, it's just great that I can feel welcome, and you know, I go to the Center for Spiritual Living, and just wonderful organization. So but I did grow up as a gay teenager, of course, not out, keeping a secret inside myself, and I had just basically given up on ever having any kind of faith or spirituality in my life, because what I had always been told was gay people were wrong. They would never be welcomed into any kind of faith tradition. They'd never be welcomed into a church. You know, you go into a church and you have to hide who you are. You know, all those type of things, all those messages that I'm hearing. And I was raised in a family that had no religious background. You know, my mom and dad don't go to church other than when they come to my my church on a, you know, special occasion or something like that. And so I can't even imagine what it would be like for a gay teenager that actually grew up with faith in their lives, that had to endure all these messages and true conflict within themselves. And I'd like to, just for a few minutes here, talk about that if we can. And I'll, Chris, throw it to you first.
One is, you know, we pray that actually over the last, you know, couple of decades, gay teenagers have grown up in supportive faith communities, because there are very many, actually.
Yes.
But even here in liberal Sonoma County, we still have to take a public stand, actually, to demonstrate that, because Lord knows that religion gets a bad rap. One looks just back to the No on 8 campaign, you know, and sources of funding and that sort
exactly.
of thing.
That's
why we hosted the No on 8 campaign.
Yeah,
is
you
to
did.
Say,
that's right.
Yo, people of faith, you know, believers of every kind, understand that, you know, the blessing is for everybody.
And George?
Well, I think teens are an at-risk group to begin with, so gay teens even more. And it seems to me one challenge is in synagogue and church to send a message that you're okay, you're welcome, we affirm you as you are. And especially in the teen groups that synagogues and churches have. But even more so in the schools. I think the schools are really the not safe place. And even in Sonoma County, I don't think the schools are very safe for gay teens. So that's where my concern would go. And a number of years ago, Marie Creo did a program, a diversity program, and I was actually able to go and speak. And actually, some of the teachers still remember that as being a very positive experience, just to bring people of faith into the schools and allow them to speak about, you know, what it means to be gay in the faith tradition that you come from. That would be a small step. That's where my concern is, mainly in the schools especially.
Yeah, I know a lot of the high schools are getting better about that, but from my experience 10 years ago, certainly was not as much, you know, and I didn't have exposure to things that would tell me otherwise. So that's nice to have now. So you mentioned your teen groups, and of course there's many other types of GLBT groups that form in congregations that are affirming and open. Do either one of your communities have like a gay men's group or a lesbian group or just a GLBT group?
You know, we struggle with this because on the one hand, we want everyone to be part of the community and the community mm-hmm. to be one. So the minute you identify, say, the lesbian community, we have a number of lesbian families in the community and very few gay men.
Okay.
I wish we had more. Because mm-hmm. One of the things about, you can say you're inclusive and welcoming, but if people come and don't see other people like them and there's no critical mass, it just doesn't work. So, okay, we could identify lesbian families as a group and create a group out of them, but that's kind of not what we don't want to do. We want them to feel part of the congregation as a whole.
I see.
So unfortunately, when issues come up, perhaps a group will form to work on that issue.
Okay.
But in general, they're all members of our community. You know, gay, straight, rich, poor, old, married, single, with kids, without kids. That's the direction we try to go in.
Okay. And Chris?
What he said.
Okay. Yeah, I can understand that.
You know, and with a complete openness to that, but also just sort of struggling for whatever reason with a critical mass sort of thing.
Sure.
I would say, to relate it to that, I guess, how do you build critical mass for whoever's listening in whatever your faith community is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you handle the pain that may have come if your experience wasn't positive? There's no better way for people to find their way into any community of faith than to be invited by a friend. And so if a friend who's gay or who's like you in whatever way says, like, no, honestly, I'm telling you, this place is cool.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, that's the door that is the most open, I think.
Exactly what happened to me, and that's how I found it. George?
Yeah, I want to say if you're a GLBT person, you're Jewish, and you're afraid or you want to find out more, call Congregation Shomrei Torah 578-5519 ask to speak to me or come see me, Rabbi George Gittleman. I would love to spend some time with you.
And can you say that phone number one more time?
707-578-5519.
Okay. And do you guys have a website?
We do. It's shomreitorah.org.
Want to spell that?
shomreitorah.org. If you Google George Gittleman, me, you'll find it also.
Okay. Thank you very much, George. And Chris, why don't you give all your contact info also
for
the Unitarian Universalist?
Sure, sure. Come on down. We own and live in the Glazer Center, which is at 547 Mendocino. We worship on Sundays at 9:15 and 11, and our website is UUSantaRosa, one word, UUSantaRosa.org.
Okay, and a phone number?
568-5381.
568-5831.
Whoop! 568-5381.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Thank you. And Charles, I know that you, you're the organizer of the interfaith service for Sonoma County Pride, but you also attend Windsor Presbyterian?
Windsor Presbyterian Church, yeah.
Okay.
And me and my partner started attending in 2008. And before that, we were going to New Hope Metropolitan Community Church, which is a wonderful church. But we felt it was time to kind of move. And one of the things that you said, Rabbi, really spoke to me is that as soon as we walked into the door, people welcomed us. And these were people who were young, you know, young adults with kids. There were teenagers there. There were elderly. Everybody of every age was there. And they were just so warm and accepting. Just that alone immediately said, yeah, this is the place where we fit. And I think that's one of the things about the Interfaith Service is that I want the GLBT community to know that they can fit someplace. Mm-hmm. We have plenty of churches here. We have two here representative, but we have 13 others, and there's more out there want you. And go out and explore them.
And can you give the contact information for your church? Do you have that in your head?
Yes, I do.
As a non-clergy member?
WindsorPresbyterianChurch.org. I think that's it, yeah.
Okay. Or certainly go to Google and just type in Windsor Presbyterian Church and you'll find it.
You'll find it, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. So we're wrapping up here. We have just less than 2 minutes left, so I'd like to just do one more quick around with last words of advice, anything that you'd like to say to someone who's listening right now who's wanting to find a faith community but just doesn't know how to do it.
Come to the Pride service, really, which I also want to add is one of it's really the most interfaith worship experience that I have, and it doesn't happen that often. There's a lot of dialogue and a lot of interfaith organizing and that kind of thing, but to really be together in a worshipful space, and I give all the props to Charles for that. But I do just want to say, even if I don't. You can blame people, but don't blame God.
Thank you. And that was Reverend Chris Bell from the Unitarian Universalist Congregation, Santa Rosa. And Rabbi George.
With a few seconds left,
yes.
I'm going to teach a little liberal Torah and say that the Torah says that we're created in God's image. It doesn't say straight man or white man. It says all people are created in God's image, all of us, gay, straight, black, white. Young, old. That's the message that I want to offer.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Thank you. Yeah. And Charles, thank you very much for being here. Charles is the organizer of the Sonoma County Pride Interfaith Service. You can get more information about the Sonoma County Pride Interfaith Service and all the Sonoma County Pride Week events at www.sonomacountypride.org. You are listening to Outbeat Now, part of Outbeat Radio on KRCB FM Santa Rosa. Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you, but I gotta think twice before I give my heart away. And I know all the games you play because I play them too. Oh, but I need some time.
That was George Michael with Faith from the Best of George Michael album. You're listening to Outbeat Now on KRCB FM Santa Rosa. It's time now for the Outbeat Youth segment. Please put my soul up to love. I am so, so alive. Welcome to this month's edition of Outbeat Youth. I'm Greg Moralia. Outbeat Youth is a program for and about LGBT youth in the North Bay and beyond. We're here every month as part of Outbeat Now. And tonight we begin with an It Gets Better message from one of our guests this evening, Marsha Izumi.
Hi, my name is Marsha Izumi. I am the mother of Aiden Izumi, who is a transgender individual. And I've seen so many of the It Gets Better videos that have been focused in on the LGBT youth. So tonight I'd like to talk to the parents of LGBT individuals and let them know that it gets better for you too as parents. When I began this journey with my son, I felt like I was looking down a road at night with no headlights on a car. It was dark, and I didn't know if the road would be straight, twisted, or take me off a cliff. I was scared. But I traveled down the road slowly, asking questions, asking for help along the way, and talking with not only my transgender son, but everyone in my family. And we slowly made our way through obstacles, uncertainty, and some of our greatest fears. I made mistakes along the way, and with each mistake, I had to say I'm sorry. But most of all, I had to forgive myself because I was doing the best I could with what I knew at the time. My story has a happy ending because my son is alive today. Our family has conquered one challenge after another, and as a result, we love deeper, we appreciate more often, and we accept more easily those things which in the past we would have judged more harshly. We have been on this amazing journey, and I can say to you, I am happy. I feel like a great mother, and I've met people who have changed my life in ways I never believed possible. Life does get better. Just keep telling your LGBT child those words. And as it gets better for your child, life will definitely get better for you.
And with us now is Marsha Izumi and her son, Aiden. Welcome, Marsha and Aiden, to Outbeat Youth.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to be here.
And so let's start out by telling us, where are you in California exactly?
Well, we live in Arcadia, which is right next door to Pasadena, where they have the Tournament of Roses. And so I guess you would consider us Southern California.
Okay, okay. And Aiden, did you grow up in Southern California?
Yeah, I went to Arcadia schools, kindergarten through 12th grade.
Great. How old are you now?
22.
Okay. So let's start out by having you just tell us a little bit about when you first discovered or first started to realize that you might be transgender.
I want to say I was probably like maybe 18, but I don't think I had a word for it, or I knew like how to describe what I was feeling. I just assumed that I was just really masculine, that I liked women, but I didn't know that there was any other like alternative to being just kind of a really masculine woman.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was around when I was 18. I went to the Long Beach Pride Parade and Festival, and I met a group of trans people that were just hanging out there and kind of hearing, like, their story and just, like, about their lives. And I realized that was, like, really similar to some of the things, like, I was feeling and the thoughts that I was having. And I thought I would just kind of do some more research and, like, look a little bit deeper into this whole, the process of transitioning and, like, what that meant for me. So I kind of started asking around, like kind of reaching out to people that I knew had information.
As you look back at this point in your life now, 4 years later, are there points in your life when you were younger that you can point to and say, oh yeah, I can see it there, or now that makes sense to me?
Yeah, I think there's like several things. I mean, it's, and they're all kind of general, like I don't feel like I have a specific like moment that I necessarily realized, but I realized like all my Halloween costumes uh-huh. were, you know, either like male figures or very masculine characters. And my set of friends was primarily boys. But I don't know. I don't think there's like a specific instance I can think of.
Sure. And when you got into high school, you know, what was that like for you? Were you dressing more masculine then?
Well, I want to say yes. Probably not as masculine as now. Probably a little bit more like androgynous, but definitely not like feminine clothing. More just like t-shirts and jeans and shorts, like pretty just definitely not form-fitting.
Right.
High school was interesting, I guess.
Well, tell me about that.
It was kind of a combination. Like I played sports through high school. Well, I played golf through high school specifically. So when I was playing golf, I was pretty fine and I fit in pretty well. It was more outside of that, like just in classes or around lunchtime, that socially I just was kind of isolated. I didn't really have too many friends once I hit high school, just because that was that kind of, I guess it's the age, right, where everyone wants to kind of fit in and be almost invisible, right? Like, you don't want to stand out too much. You kind of want to fit to whatever the trends are. And I wasn't fitting that. I definitely wasn't, you know, becoming more feminine or dating boys or wearing makeup or any of that. So I kind of just started to drift out of that, like out from those crowds. I was kind of by myself.
Right. Now, had you discovered that you were interested in women at the time?
I think I knew that long before, like, I hit high school. But I also grew up going to church. So it was more of a religious battle, like an internal religious battle for me. But I think I knew probably when I was, like, in seventh grade, I could say.
Now, when you were in seventh grade, or even in your early years in high school, were you exposed to a Gay Straight Alliance at your school, or did that exist?
It did exist. It was very small. There was probably only like maybe five people in there, and I think from what I remember, they were all just straight allies. So what I was like, it wasn't a place I could go to meet other like LGBT youth. I could get support there, and it was a safe space, but it wasn't what I was looking for.
Right. So you said you came out in your sophomore year. Tell me about that.
I came out to my friends first and just kind of slowly started telling like my closest couple friends that I'd managed to pick up over those 2 years in high school. And everyone was fine. At least the kind of maybe two or three I had told. Everyone was really kind of supportive. No one really gave me any trouble.
Good.
Or at least the people that I told that were I considered my friends.
How about teachers and school employees?
I was in a program at the time that Arcadia had, which was like a healthcare sciences academy, and all the teachers in there were just super supportive. I didn't have too much interaction with teachers outside of the academy, because all of our classes were pretty much contained in there.
Okay.
And then I was I had sports in the afternoon, so my coach was super cool too.
So that had to have made a big difference for you.
The sports or the...
Well, the support that you got from the teachers.
Yeah. I mean, no one really was... It's kind of hard, because they were all very accepting and didn't treat me differently, but they weren't necessarily, like, putting a stop to, anti-gay slurs, like, in the classroom. It was more just, like, I was happy because they weren't treating me any differently, and they were, like, supportive if ever I was feeling just kind of, like, down or out of it, and I could talk to them. They didn't treat me any differently.
Good. Well, I mean, that's good, because a lot of kids don't even have that, you know,
yeah,
in their school. They have actually just the opposite. So, did you come out to your family at that time?
Oh yeah.
That's
my mom could probably tell you all about that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think it was you know, it's one of those teenage things where, like, Aiden wasn't always forthcoming with information for us. And one of the things for me is, like, I always wanted my children to tell the truth. And part of it, I think, is just a mixture of not knowing how we're going to take it. But what happened in this whole process of him not telling the truth is I really got stuck on him lying a lot to us. And, of course, when we had this disagreement, then he kind of said, well, I want you to know that I'm a lesbian, too, and... You know, so it got really messy. You know, there were like two things going on. One of them is his coming out, and one of them dealing with me thinking I'm not a good mother because my child is not going to be telling me the truth. So it was kind of, and then, you know, I was afraid and I didn't know what it meant. And it was just, the first coming out to me, it wouldn't have been the way that I wanted things to go. uh-huh. because I know Aiden probably thought I was judging him on his LGBT issues, and I'm sure there was some of that in there, but I think I was dealing more with, you know, what did I do as a mother that my son, you know, won't tell me the truth, and now he's coming out with disinformation.
Now, I've had a lot of parents tell me, I always knew, and especially moms. But a lot of their mothers say, you know, a mother always really knows, whether you want to admit it or not. What was it like for you as you look back?
No, I think I've known since Aiden was in first grade. You know, when he was young, he refused to wear girls' clothes. You know, the first couple of years, I had him in pink and bows and all that kind of stuff. But when he got to the point where he could really assert himself, he refused. And so I just thought, oh, he's just a tomboy. But I think when he was in first grade and he came home and told me that he loved this girl named Allie, I thought, now, this is a first grader that has nothing to hide and is saying that she loves a girl.
Right.
You know, whereas everybody else was having crushes on boys. So there was a hint there for me. Because he had never wanted to dress in anything feminine, and he didn't like dolls, nothing feminine, makeup, none of that. It just kind of set, I think, a red flag up for me. And so I always knew, I think, from that point. But I didn't know the word transgender. I just thought, perhaps my child is going to be lesbian.
So, Aiden, for you, then what was the next step for saying, this is more than just a sexual attraction to women, this is more than my identifying as a lesbian, you identified as a male?
There's a mom that comes to our PFLAG group, and she had disclosed that her child transitioned a couple years before I met her in our group, and I immediately kind of like locked in on that and was like, I need to talk to this person. She has information. Like, she's been through it. She knows. She can just, like, tell me if I'm, you know, just having a moment or if maybe my feelings are valid and I should keep exploring. So I think I just started emailing with her, like, what my next steps could be or if there's ways that other people that she knew I could talk to. And we would have lunch every so often and kind of she would let me kind of go into that further because, you know, in emails it's kind of, it may not be a direct conversation. It's more like back and forth.
Right.
Whenever you get back to it. So we'd have an actual conversation. And I decided to kind of take the next step with that for myself before I told anybody else because I didn't want to, like, come out and be like, maybe not. Maybe it's wrong. Every night or when I got the chance, I would just imagine, like, oh, if people were addressing me as male, like, would I feel better about that? Like, I would just kind of imagine if someone came up to me, like, in a restaurant and was, like, referred to me as sir, would that make me feel better? And I kind of was like, yeah, I think it would. You know, I think, like, I like that. I think it feels good. And so I did that for a while just in my head.
Right.
And I had told, at the time, the youth group I was going to or the young adult group I was going to for PFLAG, I told them kind of how I was considering transitioning and tested it kind of on peers to see, like, reactions or what their feedback was, because I felt like if they saw me as male or if maybe I could try it out there and kind of test it without doing anything that would be permanent or coming out to my family, that would be kind of a good test. And then after that, you know, it was just I did research online. It's funny, but I guess YouTube has a really great network of trans people who are kind of documenting their transition as well as sharing information with other people. And I started watching people's videos about, like, top surgery or hormones or just kind of, like, day-to-day feelings and name change and pronouns and just all of the works. And I was like, you know what, I think I'm just going to, like, take a next step and kind of a plan to come out. Except for I came out kind of unexpectedly on that one too, so it didn't work out the way I planned again. But
well, that sounds like another good story.
Kind of, I mean, kind of.
Mm-hmm. It is, Aiden.
Tell us.
I was at the time I was marching for the Revolution LA Drumline, which is part of the, like, basically the gay marching band's drumline in Los Angeles, and we were marching in a competition for the holidays, like a holiday parade, and did really well, came in first, like, everyone was going to go celebrate, and I was just in this, like, horrible mood, like, just bad. Bad mood. Like, I was trying to be really happy and everything, and instead of going to celebrate with everybody else, like, I told my mom, like, let's just go home. Like, let's just eat somewhere else. I don't want to wait here. And we left, and we ended up eating, I don't even remember where, but we ended up eating closer to home. And she was like, you know, like, you've been in this, like, horrible mood ever since we left. And, like, you guys had such a great day. Like, kind of like, what's your deal? And I finally was like, you know, like, promise you're not going to be mad. And that was, like, something she told us when we were little. So, like, she would be prepared if we were going to, like, throw something at her kind of unexpected or out of the ordinary. And so she said, like, she'd promise, and I kind of told her, like, I'm thinking about, like, transitioning from female to male. And actually, it went really well. Like, there was no, like, yelling or screaming. It was actually very anticlimactic.
Were you disappointed?
No, not disappointed, just kind of shocked, I guess.
Okay.
I just anticipated a little bit more, not resistance, but, like, questions or... more of like a reaction, and there wasn't really one. It was more just I think the only thing I really remember her saying is, like, when are you going to tell your dad? Which I wasn't exactly filled with either.
Right. So, Marcia, you mentioned earlier that you weren't familiar with gender identity or transgender people. Right. So at this point, now when you heard this, what was your reaction?
Well, my first reaction is that I have to support this child. And I didn't know anything, but I figured I would find it out. And actually, Greg, it's kind of interesting because I don't know if you know that Aiden and I are writing a memoir of our journey.
Are you really?
Yes, but I have this exact chapter that Aiden's talking about posted on Scrib.com. And it just talks about, like, how I felt, what I was going through. It's really a memoir about Aiden's journey, but it's told from a mother's point of view, you know, interspersed with his thoughts. And basically everything just seemed like it fit when he said those words. Everything that I've questioned and never understood, it makes sense.
Right.
That he was really born to be a boy. And he's been living in this female body for the past, you know, 20-odd years. That's why it was kind of anticlimactic. After the first coming out, that was maybe more dramatic.
Right.
I just thought, you know what? It just feels like it's the right thing to do, but I don't understand it, so I've got to go home and do some work.
So
Aiden's already been researching and knows all these things, and I barely understand what the word means.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of where my journey began that night. The two of us planned what he would do to tell his father and his brother, and then through the month of December, Aiden handed out letters to all of my family and people he worked with. So we actually came out to pretty much everybody. Don't you think, Aiden, that we're really close to?
In December?
In December, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like just any holiday gathering we went to with family, I was bringing copies of this letter and carrying it around and handing it out to people.
Aiden, it sounds like, you know, this was kind of the last big piece to really give you wholeness. Is that a good way of capturing it?
Yeah, I mean, the way I describe it, a lot of times when I'm going to schools or into classrooms, especially if it's a younger crowd, is I always remember, I think it's like a wood board and it has all the shapes that are cut out for kids to learn to match their shapes.
Right.
And, like, put them in, and it's also like a, you know, tactile thing, right, to put the shapes in the correct spot. And I always felt like I had all those pieces because, you know, they were given to me, but I was trying to put, you know, the shapes in the wrong spot. And then every time I did something for my transition, like, I came out, like, I managed to get one of those shapes, like, into the correct, you know, the matching spot. And then, like, when I changed my name and then I started hormones and I had top surgery, it's like all those things kind of started to fall into place. And each of the pieces kind of went into their corresponding hole, I guess.
Right, right.
Or shape. They're cut out, you know.
Right. When you began this journey and you decided you were going to start moving forward with transition, did you lay it out in a plan for yourself, or did you really discover each piece and move forward with each piece one at a time?
I had done so much research prior to even coming out. I knew the order I wanted, because everybody's transition is so different, but I knew I wanted to change my name first, be because I felt like, you know, you introduce yourself on so many different, you know, all the time to random people. That would be like the first indicator to somebody whether I was male or not was my name. And then I decided I wanted to start my hormones next and then to have top surgery after that.
Wow. So you certainly come a long way. Let's shift gears a little bit. I heard you mention at the beginning of our conversation that you're engaged. Tell us about that.
Tell you. I met Mary, I guess about 3 years ago. We met at our PFLAG, this young adult PFLAG group that I mentioned earlier as well. We actually didn't talk much. I, to be honest, and I've told her this, is I had actually thought she didn't like me very much when we first met. And it's partly because I was a little bit quiet and shy, and she's pretty quiet and shy upon first meeting, so we just never got the chance to get to know each other.
So have you set a date to get married yet?
We have not. Not an actual date. We're shooting for kind of the fall of 2012.
Well, that's great, Aiden. Congratulations to you both. Well, let's conclude by asking you one more question. If you had a group of young people in a room, let's say 12 to 25 years old, and they were all sort of questioning their gender identity, what advice would you give them?
Ooh, man, that's like a money question. Trust your instincts. It's amazing how, in retrospect, but I feel like had I really listened to that and kind of a little bit more closely, I think, and honored those feelings and wanting to explore, I'd have been a lot happier sooner.
Marcia, how about you? What would you tell parents of gender-questioning youth and the youth themselves?
Well, I guess this would be something I'd want them to know, that they really, Aiden was so unhappy for the longest period of time when he wasn't himself. The difference in my son from pretending to be someone he's not to being who he is just the most amazing thing the transformation is just amazing. But he was also very patient with me. You know, I had a lot of fears as a mother, and so, you know, I would ask questions, and I would say to him, I don't want to block your way, but I need to feel like I'm being a good mother, and so please give me time. And I would say to these kids, give your parents time, you know, to kind of settle into it and let them ask questions and help them work through this. And there's going to be something that they say to their parents that's the parent's going to know that it's the right thing. For Aiden and I hope I don't start crying, but for Aiden and I told him I want to support him, but I'm so afraid. And he said, let's spend the day together. You can ask me any question that you want. I'll tell you the truth as best as I can. And we did. We cleaned his room. That was what he chose to do, was clean his room together. And we just talked the whole day. And nothing came up. And then at the very end of the day, he said to me, you know, Mama, I want to tell you this. I've been thinking about this for a long time. And, you know, I'm afraid of being alone. I'm afraid that no one's going to love me and that I'm going to go and die without anybody. And he said, but I would live that kind of life just to be who I am and feel like I am living like as the person I was meant to be. And the minute I heard that, Greg, I said to myself, my son needs to be this man that he sees. I just, without any question, I said, no matter what it takes, we are going to make sure that he is that individual.
Wow. That's just so amazing. You know, Marcia, you are an incredible role model for parents out there, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Well, you've been talking with Marcia and Aiden Azumi. Thank you both so much for spending the night with us here on Outbeat Youth.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much, Greg.
And if you'd like to read more about Marcia and Aiden's story, Marcia's written a book about her journey with her son Aiden titled Two Spirits, One Heart. And you can find out more about this book at www.marciaazumi.com. And we'll have that link on our own website at outbeatyouth.com. Just click on show notes at the top of the page. Well, that wraps up another edition of Outbeat Youth. If you'd like to be part of an upcoming show by sharing your own story, performing your music, or reading your poetry, go to our website at www.outbeatyouth.com. And remember, you can follow us all month long on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. Past shows are always available for download and listening on iTunes.
Thanks so much for listening.
And you are listening to Outbeat now on KRCB-FM Santa Rosa. My name is Jeff Basham, and Greg, thank you so very much for that piece. Wonderful story of Marsha and Aiden. And so next week on Outbeat Radio, we have a fifth Sunday of the month, and that is our Outbeat Extra Show.
You bet. And we're going to be here with expanded news coverage and all of the information about Pride events, because we'll be airing on sort of the eve of Pride Month. And it's also a great time for us to replay a show we did in October on National Coming Out Day. So we're going to rebroadcast that very special show on Outbeat Extra. But be sure and tune in for all the latest updated information on all of the Sonoma County Pride events, as well as that occurring in San Francisco.
Absolutely. And next month, Greg and I will be back on the fourth Sunday of June to talk to you about San Francisco Pride. Our show will be airing that night. San Francisco Pride is June 26th, and we'll be airing that night. I'll be doing a piece that is looking back at the history of San Francisco Pride, and we'll be celebrating Pride right here with you on the air on KRCB.